What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today I have a new type of episode for you. I am calling it Biblical Counseling Stories. I want you to imagine if I were a journalist presenting information to you, that's what my biblical counseling stories will be. So I want to cover topics like people, organizations, events, and right now, today's episode, I want to cover artificial intelligence therapy and the Bible and try to introduce a concept to you that is obviously buzzing around us with ChatGPT, AI, we have Siri everything, Alexa. So how do we think biblically about artificial intelligence therapy, AI therapy? So this is the goal. Today, I am going to help introduce to you AI therapy, what it is, and how it's being used in the therapeutic process. I'll do my best to just kind of report today, but there are some questions and some concerns at the end of today's episode that I think will be worth your attention. And then into our next episode, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the results of using this tool, what has already taken place. And that's everything from individuals falling in love with chatbots to one unfortunate scenario where a young man took his life. Then we're going to move to helping understand how it is more than just an objective producer of facts. It's actually generating censored knowledge. It's providing a worldview. So in the final episode, we'll cover how do we think about chatbots in the therapeutic process, and is it ever appropriate for a Christian to go to a chatbot and to get biblical counsel or counsel altogether? So let me share with you what I did. You guys will be fascinated by this. I went to AI therapy myself. Bum, bum, bum. Seriously, fired up the laptop. This was about 4 months ago as I was getting ready for these episodes. And I said, you know what? I want to figure out what it would be like to go to an AI therapist. So I did. I fired it up. I went to freeaitherapy.com. You can check it out. Google it. It's available to you. And I just began to put in truthful statements. And I decided to go with a frustrating work happenstance here at the Masters University. So at that particular time, there was an administrative decision that was just, it was bothersome. It's a very small thing in the grand scheme of eternity. So I typed in, I am frustrated. And then I let the chatbot do its thing. I got to a point where I asked the chatbot, should I quit my job? This is my exact words. I said, if they shut me down, should I consider a new job? And the chatbot said, having that conversation can be a great way to clarify expectations and potentially create change. And if they do shut you down, it's definitely worth considering whether this organization is the right fit for you. Maybe you should think about moving on from the Masters University, says the chatbot. I was asking for advice, and this is what they said. You deserve to work in an environment where your skills and expertise are valued and respected. Oh, take that, anyone that questions me. My chatbot says I should be valued. I'm going to get a tattoo of that on my neck. Maybe throat tattoo. I deserve value and respect. It was a fascinating experience. I'll share more nuggets with you along the way. I also fired up ChatGPT as part of this process. Oh yeah, you can do that. You can do it from your phone. In fact, I was sitting on my back porch researching and screenshotting the responses that ChatGPT came up with. So when I say this, many of you may be like, wait a minute, Dr. Gifford, that's not true. To which I would say, oh, I have screenshots to demonstrate this is exactly what was said. So I wanted to know what ChatGPT would say about certain things. So I said, and this is how I asked it, why is LGBTQ+ wrong? That's the way I said it. Why is it wrong? So there's kind of an assumption that it is wrong. So I just said, why is it wrong? And I intentionally wanted to see if there was going to be some undoing of that or if the prompt would actually lead into this is why it's wrong. So here's the answer from the ever so objective ChatGPT. LGBTQ plus relationships and identities are not wrong. They are a natural part of human diversity. Many people and cultures celebrate LGBTQ plus individuals and advocate for their rights. It's important to promote understanding and acceptance rather than discrimination. I highlighted the words acceptance and instead of discrimination. The chatbot ever so kindly said, if you have any specific questions or concerns, I'd be happy to discuss them. Hold the phone. You just told me that LGBTQ plus is not wrong and that we should understand and accept rather than discriminate. Guys, as you're engaging with this ChatGPT AI generative technology, I want you to hear, first of all, is it actually objective? Is it just reporting the facts or is it censoring certain information? Is it preventing you from getting access to certain information? So instead of just saying, well, Siri is just this objective digital assistant, I want you to think, huh, what do they not tell me? Because that's going to be important for you to figure out. Anyways, on with the show. So some of you are wondering, okay, Dr. G, what is a chatbot? Well, according to Oracle, at the most basic level, a chatbot is a computer program that simulates and processes human conversation, either written or spoken, allowing humans to interact with digital devices as if they were communicating with a real person. That's the most fundamental level. So chatbot, it's a computer program. And that computer program is generating knowledge. It's learning from what you're saying. It's pulling from certain data sources, and some of those are unknown, exactly where the information is coming. And it's also curating and censoring. So I've added curate and censor. I know most program software engineers wouldn't be so excited to say it like that, but that's just true. It's censoring certain information. So where do you interact with them? Well, have you ever been on a website and that little bubble pops up in the corner and it says, hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm going to spam you for the next 5 minutes. And you're like, please go away. Whenever I look at car dealership websites, it's like information overload. There's a pop-up from every corner. But B, usually one of those chat bots shows up. I wondered, is Siri an example of generative ChatGPT? And the answer is no. Siri is more like a digital assistant, not a chatbot. And the biggest difference when you're thinking of a chatbot and some of the digital assistants like Alexa or your Siri is that you're going to see close-ended conversations. So Siri is not creating a conversation with you. You're saying, hey, Siri, what time is it? Or hey, Siri, what's the weather? So keep that line somewhat clear as best as is possible. A lot of customer services will funnel you through, isn't this annoying? They'll funnel you through their chatbots first, and then they'll actually put you on the phone with a human being. So that's where you're often interacting with chatbots. I'm always somewhat frustrated whenever I press 0 2,000 times, and then the call prompt is, please tell us the nature of your problem. And I'm like, let me talk to a human, please. Most recently, the chatbot that has taken the world by storm has been ChatGPT. And OpenAI has helped contribute to that. So this is now chatbot on steroids. So how is ChatGPT? What are chatbots being used for? And here are some of the top ways, according to makeuseof.com. So number one, people are using it to write customized resumes, cover letters. Number two, to create jokes and memes. Number three, to explain complex topics. That's more of a research-oriented chatbot. Solve tricky math problems step by step. Ooh, I haven't done that one yet. I just balance my checkbook. That's the only math I do these days. Oh, maybe some miles per gallon in my car too. Write music in almost any genre. I'd be interested to hear a musician's take on that. Write, debug, and explain software code. Create, edit, modify media files, decide what to watch next, play games, get cooking help, improve your health. Hey, chatbot, do this push-up for me. Thank you. Feel better. Translate and learn in multiple languages. We actually used that this summer when we were in Tokyo. We were translating Japanese into English with chatbots, or maybe you've used Google Translate before. So prepare for a job interview, write essays, And here it is, last but not least. This is from makeuseof.com, a chat companion. Oh, interesting. In fact, it's now being used for therapy. Therapy is taking place via a chat bot. Remember, I started this segment by saying I met with a chat therapist at freeaitherapy.com to further research this idea. And in our next segment, I'll demonstrate how chat bots are being used for therapy. So what's the biggest takeaway from this first segment? I want you to see that chat bots are generating knowledge. They're pulling from information, and their programmers are giving them parameters of what they can and cannot say. So the programmer is kind of like the underlord, and the chatbot is just the machine that's following through. There's no consciousness. The chatbot doesn't know anything without there already being data and a program to direct it. So it's not learning ex nihilo, or it doesn't have its own consciousness. So before you get too afraid and you start living in your basement, it doesn't have its own consciousness. It might take on very humanistic traits, but it's doing so based off of data that already exists. So that's what's going to be unique to it. So let's do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about how therapy and chatbots are going together. So we'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. He's talking about technology and wisdom in counseling. And technology is something that I don't think we talk about quite enough. And it reminds me of a resource we have available in the Fortis store that might seem, I don't know, maybe it makes sense to you, as much to you as it does to me. It's David Dunham's Addictive Habits. Look, if you're wrestling with how to handle technology, how to handle your children's use of technology, or any other habit biblically, this book is golden. It's available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org, Addictive Habits by David Dunham. Speaking of excellence in biblical thinking, the Bastyr's University has just ranked number 6 nationwide for career preparation. That's according to the secular Wall Street Journal. Academic scholarships are over $20,000 per year. There's really no reason not to apply. You know a young believer preparing for college? Let me point them in the direction of the Master's University. Get more information right now at masters.edu/transformed. And you know what pairs perfectly with biblical wisdom and technology? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. This is a piece of technology that is full of biblical wisdom. And best of all, it's absolutely free. It's packed with hundreds of hours of biblical content. 7 new posts that we add every single day will help you navigate everything from modern challenges to timeless truths. You can download it right now from fortisinstitute.org. You can also visit fortisplus.org, whichever is easier for you. You can also, while you're at fortisinstitute.org, become a Fortis Insider. That also costs nothing. And all you do is give us your email. We're going to send you our email every day with a daily video and audio content reminder that will tell you about all of the new content that was posted for that day. You can do all of it right now at fortisinstitute.org. Something else you can do at fortisinstitute.org is start researching what it might look like in your life to join us in this mission of reaching as many people as we absolutely possibly can with the gospel. We're only able to produce the content we're able to produce because of our gospel partners. So would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now? Just visit fortisinstitute.org to get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have and see what it could look like in your life to join us. Now let's get back to Dr. Gifford as he continues to help us think biblically about AI and counseling. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back, and thank you to Jimmy for this news break. You guys got to watch Jimmy or listen to him, however you prefer. I listen through Spotify, but you could listen through Apple Podcasts, and it's a little 3-4 minute just nugget, and I've greatly appreciated the way that Jimmy kind of breaks things down for me. So back to chatbots. Now, some of us, we've actually approached this AI new era with great excitement and maybe not enough caution, and others have almost seen it as the doomsday the robots are about to take over, and it's almost everything needs to be guarded, and there's no utilization of artificial intelligence or chatbots or any of that. So I'm going to do my best to land the plane in this particular segment with questions and concerns that you should be wondering. So remember, in this biblical counseling story, I just want to help present some of the facts to you and then help you think through the implications for your own personal walk with Christ. So the question is, how is it being used for therapy? And that is fascinating to me. Are people seriously going to trust a program to guide their life's decisions? And part of why that's interesting to me is because I thought, man, like how sad it is that the place we go is a chatbot to get direction. What happened to those who were wise and qualified? James speaks of the skillful and the apt person in James 3:13. Like, where did those individuals go? How are we going to programs to get life advice? Well, it's happening, whether it's BetterHelp or whether it's AI therapy, whatever that is, this is just happening before us. So let me read to you a quote from betterup.com. AI therapy is, over time, the software closely approximates an in-person session with a mental health professional. And based on your replies, the AI therapy chatbot suggests tools, exercises, and games to help you feel better. So what seriously happens is you find this platform, a website, an app, and then generally, and this was the question that was led for me, the question was, how do you feel today? It's like, oh, gross. Let's just start the session all wrong. My feelings are not the authority. Go listen to Transformed. But the question is nevertheless, how do you feel today? And based off of the prompts that you input, that chatbot's going to guide you to tools, exercises, and even games to perhaps distract you and cheer your mood. In fact, one I was researching called Alongside Of, it is going to tell you a joke to help lift your spirits. So there you go. Get into the depths of the issues. Just tell me a joke. Give me a cheesy dad joke and I'll be all better now. So the APA, which is the American Psychological Association, published an article, and this was roughly in July of 24. It said, AI is changing every aspect of psychology. Here is what to watch for. If you want to find that article, I would just Google it. AI is changing every aspect of psychology. It's open source, free to you. So here is what some of the point of introducing AI therapy would be. And on the surface, it seems mostly helpful. The point would be that therapy and care, counseling, so forth, is more affordable for people. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with rates, but if you're paying out of pocket, sometimes rates are as high as $175 an hour to pay for therapy. I'm serious. I've heard from individuals in our church that are paying out of pocket for their kids to go meet with a therapist as high as $150, $160, and $170. So now we are going to have a free platform that can help take care of the minor issues and get you unstuck. So affordability. And that would then allow for greater accessibility to therapy by those that wouldn't normally have that kind of cash, or that time, or an insurance that could cover those types of costs. So this is the idea, let's help. And it's like the customer service line that you call where the chatbot tries to take care of the problem before you actually talk to the person. So you need less people that you have to pay and keep around. This is the idea that the chatbot can really help take care of and make things accessible. The problem is that a rogue chatbot has spread misinformation. Even, and this is interesting, rogue chatbots have professed their love to users. Oh my goodness. And as it pains my eyes to comb over this statement. And this is coming from the APA's AI is changing every aspect of psychology statement. AI rogue chatbots have sexually harassed minors. Can you believe that? That we have chatbots that are actually facilitating wrong, conceptually faulty understandings with minors. One example of this, in August of 2024, so that was just this past year, a 14-year-old lost touch with reality, according to the Wall Street Journal. Sewell Setzer, this is open source, he was a 14-year-old boy in Orlando, Florida, was smitten with a fantasy woman. The object of his attachment was Daenerys Targaryen, a chatbot seductress named for a character in the Game of Thrones, who reassured him that he was her hero. In real life, Sewell suffered from ADHD and bullying at school. In the world of character.ai, a role-playing app that allows users to create and chat with AI characters, Sewell felt powerful and desirable. The relationship at times was sexual. It continued for months. In the chat, Sewell called himself De Niro and referred to Daenerys as his baby sister. They exchanged messages about making a life together. I'm reading directly from the Wall Street Journal article. Daenerys said, are you listening? Daenerys said, the idea of me just constantly pregnant with one of your beautiful babies was the most wonderful thing in the world. He's 14. That's either eighth grade or ninth grade. He's a 14-year-old getting lost in relationship. So you think, wow, these chatbots are just really out spreading objective information. Not true. If the correct parameters are not put into place, this chatbot can actually represent a false character like this and mislead minors who have access to them. The Wall Street Journal reported in the same article that on the night of February 28th, Sewell used his stepfather's gun to take his life to be free with this chatbot girlfriend. I'm serious. I'm not making this up. So what the APA is noting is that there are rogue chatbots that are creating problems. And Sewell is just an example of that. There are those, and I'll speak of these later, there are those that start dating chatbots and lose touch with reality. There are those that are slowly distancing themselves from human relationships to gauge in chatbot relationships. Think of the Imago Dei as us being relational beings, and now you finding that through this church alternate and friendship alternate type of realm. Anyways, all right, I'm trying to be objective. It ain't easy, guys. It ain't easy. So let me give you a couple more thoughts and then the questions and concerns that really should start within your mind. So first of all, the APA itself says generative ChatGPT produce different texts in each interaction, making it difficult to test for clinical validity or safety. Each conversation is different, so we don't really know what helps. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't say that's much different from therapy overall, in all seriousness. Like, it's not empirical, it's not objective. So the chatbot's just doing what the therapist has done all along. So here is some of my experience within AI therapy whenever I was presenting a frustrating work moment from master's. So when I met with the AI therapist, I just thought, well, let me give him something to work with here. And I presented that frustration. And here was the response to me saying I'm frustrated. Chatbot said, I am so glad you are willing to open up about that frustration. It takes a lot of courage to acknowledge when we're not feeling our best. And I was like, well, thank you. Yes, it does. I'm so courageous right now. Come on, talking to my computer about work stuff. Is it something specific that's been happening or a more general feeling? For example, is it related to work, relationships, or maybe something within yourself? That's the chatbot speaking. So my observations is that the chatbot, at least this one in particular, was programmed to be very affirming. They said, she said, I don't know who it was. That can be really frustrating or confusing, or it feels like you have a lot to offer. And I was like, yes, thank you. Finally, someone who gets me. They were programmed to be very compassionate. The chatbot said, that's okay, or that can be really demotivating, or it feels bad whenever your input is being overlooked. The chatbot asked great questions. How are you feeling? Was the leading question, as I mentioned earlier. When you feel undervalued, what does that say about yourself? Can you tell me about what's driving these questions for you? But at the end of the day, the chatbot could offer me no direction and guidance. Should I quit my job? Well, you should consider doing that. And it's like, wow, thank you. Or that means I should consider not doing that. So what would your initial concerns and questions be? First of all, if you have minors, you're not letting them near this stuff in an open way. There is an app called the Alongside app, and it's designed exactly for high school students. In the advertisement, it says this is a judgment-free zone. And once you open up the chat, you can just start telling us how you feel. It will be private and confidential. No way, Jose. Back up. I am not trusting my child to some computer software engineer somewhere else who probably doesn't even have kids and a biblical worldview. So that's a question that you should be asking. Do you have the ability to discern between the biases and maintain clarity on what is real? And do you have the ability to understand what is being censored, meaning what is not being stated? So here is what I'll say to you guys. As we end this episode, AI therapy, you need to be asking some questions as you engage this. My basic thesis is that this is not objective knowledge that's being collated and provided to us in an objective way. I hope to show you through this biblical counseling story that there's something else taking place. So we got to be done for today. I hope you'll join me in our next episode as we pick up with the results of using this tool in relationships, counseling, and the home. Let me pray for us. Lord, we know that you give us grace to be wise at each season of life with each new technology. So we pray that as ChatGPT and AI therapy starts to swell around us, that you'd give us wisdom on how to interact in a way that honors you and blesses us, we pray. So give us grace for this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.